body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. Welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and happy Passover for our Jewish friends out there, and happy sunny Monday. It feels like, hopefully, spring might be here, possibly, fingers crossed. And today we are joined again by the authors of One Great Year, Tamara Veach and Rennie DeFazio. They are in studio and we're going to talk about an update on what's been going on with them. And so welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Yay, thanks for being with us. So what's, we were sort of talking before the show started about how we were going to get everything started. And, first of all, I should put out the station. It's CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, or you might be listening in Kamloops at CFBX in Nova Scotia at Axe Radio Canada, or online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, or on the Co-Creator Network. And so we were talking about how last time we had talked about Marcus and Theron. They're the two main happy characters of the book. And then there's also Helgol, who has the more dark side. And on the way here on the bus, there was an incident, and it kind of shook me up a little bit. So I wanted to talk about that because I know that you two really wanted to focus on consciousness. And I know you're so excited about that, Rennie. And so what happened is there were these two guys. One guy was sitting down and this other guy was just, you know, standing there minding his own business. And all of a sudden this guy stands up and he's like, "Get out of my face." And he's like throwing the F-bomb around. And the other guy didn't engage with him, thankfully. He sort of was a little ruffled feathers and then walked away. But it totally changed the whole energy of the bus. And I was like happy, in a good mood. And then I was just like, whoa, that was harsh. It like hit me like a brick. And so I was saying how maybe we could like send this guy some calming energy, because I just feel like he's going to be like a tornado throughout the day today, just like creating anger and upset. And so you had something to say about that, Tamara.
Right. When we talked about creating our character, our dark characters, Helgol, and there are others in the book, we wanted to have something that was very true to life. And energy does shift quite dramatically by events. And we knew that if we had characters that intentionally rose the fear and the discord in the community, in situations, that affects everybody else's energy at the same time.
You want to say something, Amy?
I was just in agreement with that. I think we're going to see that defining moment a lot, where people are choosing one way or the other, as far as in terms of how our perception on things that happen outside our control.
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's so much going on right now, even with the power of energy and how our energies affect one another. There's schools all over the world now that are teaching energy healing. And if you think about, if we can heal with energy, we can do the opposite, okay? So we can make people sick. We can make situations sick. The energy that we share with each other, whether it be our thoughts, our actions, our words, we're responsible for that energy, and it does affect everything around us. So you have to choose your words and your actions and your thoughts really carefully, because they build your world. They build the framework for your consciousness and how you go forward in the world.
So where do you, okay, I have all these different thoughts in my head and all these different directions that we could take today. And I know that I want to talk about your pod parties because you've been doing that. But last time we had talked about the positive energy in the book, and we didn't have a chance to focus too much on the darker energy. And we sort of touched on it at the end. And so, but I don't want today to be all about dark energy either. So where would you like to take this? Because I know you both are really inspired to talk today.
Well, I think anytime we talk about dark energy, we absolutely want to be talking about light energy in balance, because our world is always in balance. The ancient Asian philosophies called, you know, had the yin yang. They had that idea that everything has its polarity, the north, the south, the east, the west, in equal measure. And in our story, we did the same thing, because you cannot show the bliss and the heights of light without showing any of the darkness. But what you focus on in your world, what you choose to let into your world, affects how much light and dark is in your world. If you're choosing that all of your entertainment is heavy, dark subject matter, that is a conscious choice. And your consciousness is directly affected by those choices.
That's why I don't watch the news anymore. It's too stressful. I feel like I don't know what's going on in the world that much. So sometimes I feel a little bit ignorant, but when I was in broadcasting school, we had to watch the news all the time, and it was when there was SARS was happening, and the war in Iraq was starting, and it was just, I mean, it felt like the end of the world every day I turned on the TV, and I just had to stop.
In one great year, we actually go into depth with our fictitious characters, with, you know, in this really exciting way. They're going through our real world that we're all living in. But it sets up a picture of, there are people intentionally in our story. Now, you can bring that into the real world if you want to. But in our story, there are people intentionally planting what information we get. If you wanted to keep people at a lower consciousness, at a survival mode, like when you're on the bus and somebody stands up and begins ranting and raving, you go to survival mode.
Yeah.
Unless you are aware enough to realize they're in survival mode, I don't have to go there. I can stay in my, you know, at a higher level of thinking. I am safe. Their energy is separate from me, and you can keep moving on. But in our story, we had people planting negativity, telling stories in the news just to bring the vibration, the level of consciousness down.
Now, it's interesting how you say that their energy is separate from me, because so much on this show we talk about how we're all one and we're all connected. So
we are.
How does that look? I mean, that is kind of the concept that is behind our book, because it's that consciousness, and it's that's what ancient Asian philosophy talks about, is that there is this true nature of reality. And what does that look like? What does that look like? We are all made up of atoms. And those atoms are 99.999% free space. So essentially, we are all a cluster of atoms that are held together by the Higgs field, as they call it now. And they've just released last week that the Higgs boson is a real particle. Those our atoms are kept together within this field, and we are essentially a vehicle for consciousness. And I think science is starting to prove that fact. And this is something that ancient philosophy has been talking about for thousands of years.
And that consciousness is that oneness that you're talking about, Marie, is that we all are on the same grid. We're all energy. We're all the same energy in separate. Imagine like a Christmas tree, okay? You see all those little Christmas lights all lit up all over the tree. Well, there's only one string of lights. But every little light looks like an individual little light. And that's just like what we're experiencing here in our material bodies. We're, you know, we're spread all over that tree. We're doing our own thing on our, you know. But if that tree disappears, our earth, right, then we're in a big heap and there's nowhere for us to exist and be all spread out. So we've got to think about how we're all connected. And focusing on the negative and the darkness, and will perpetuate it, because your energy will grow where it goes.
Mm-hmm. That's actually, this morning I was thinking about what we were going to talk about before we talked this morning, and I was thinking, because we didn't talk about Helgel that much, we would talk about that, and I wanted to talk sort of about how it was... His anger was sort of sparked by this rejection and this unrequited love for Theron. And so, I mean, we all have the capacity for that energy within us. It's just some people focus on it. And I think in relation to what you were saying about how what you focus on, what I've noticed in my relationships, like the one I was just telling you about earlier, is like when things are... when we're just friends, it's like, oh, it's great. And then as soon as there's this romantic energy to it, all of my like abandonment issues start coming up and things like that. And then it's like, I'm focusing on avoiding that. So what happens is I just create more of that. And so, and I know you two came together after some dramatic relationship things happening in your past too. Right. So I'm wondering how that has been for you.
I think, you know what I think it all boils down to is the ego. Mm-hmm. And I think once we relinquish our ego and allow things to happen to us as opposed to at us, then things tend to unfold the way they're supposed to unfold.
What is this symbol?
You're doing little notes to each other.
we're talking the symbol that we found. As we researched this book, we started to find a symbol that was in every culture, every ancient religion. It seemed to be in biology, in chemistry, in astrology. It was in everything,
right.
And that symbol suggests that we're all living in a hologram. So how do we get from a symbol to living in a hologram? It starts off with the seed of life. And the seed of life is a symbol of seven concentric circles that come together at the diameter.
Is that this
one? It's on the front of the book, that's right. And that symbol, it's a self-replicating universe. So as you expand identical circles to that, it becomes the flower of life, and eventually it will become a torus. And a torus is a single entity that self-replicates into itself.
And this is all a lot easier to explain with diagrams, which the radio makes kind of difficult. But basically, the fantastic thing was we knew that we needed information, that we had a 13,000-year-old man. What would he know that we did not know? And the second question we wanted to answer is, how would he leave that information for himself and for higher to establish higher consciousness in coming times? So we thought, okay, well, you know, initially when we started writing, this is a novel, it's fiction, it's, you know, we want it based in real history. But so we started looking for a symbol, and we thought, okay, what would be a cool symbol that, you know, let's go find something. But then we found it, the most ancient symbol, and we found it all over the world.
And that's that little thing right
that
there?
That is the flower of life. That is that little...
But that doesn't look like that.
That's a word. I wrote him a word.
The seed of life, essentially, yeah. How it works is that if you take it, how it applies to being human, is because when we become born, we're an egg independent of our mother. And then that egg gets fertilized, becomes two, and then four, and then it becomes an egg cluster. Those original eight cells are in your body from the moment you're born to the moment you die. They're the only original eight cells that remain in your body, because every other cell dies and regenerates every 7 years. So if you look at yourself from the time you're born to the time you're 7, 14, 21, you'll see a distinct change in your appearance. It's because every cell in your body has changed, except for the original eight. Now, that original eight, how it works, if you get that eight cluster and you flash a light on it and the shadow appears on a piece of paper, that image below, a two-dimensional image, is the seed of life.
Where are those cells? I've never heard that before.
those this
they're
is
at your perineum. They're right in the dead center of your body, actually. Right, right in your root chakra.
Oh.
is where the where those cells rest for the whole rest of your body. But I mean, it blew our minds when we found this symbol. We found it in ancient Egypt. We found it in ancient Peru. We found it in ancient Turkey. We found it spread all over the globe, all different places that couldn't have been in touch with each other. And the day that we realized it was cell division, it was oneness, it was life itself. That the message that life goes on, that it is in a pattern. And the cool thing about, I mean, we have a little tiny flower of life on the front of our book, and it's just the 12 concentric circles, but those circles go on.
Eight?
Seven concentric circles, and then one around. So. You know, so what we're doing with One Great Year is we're taking this concept of universal consciousness, and we're putting it into a practical example. So we're applying it to our adventure story that will leave you feeling inspired.
Okay, cool. All right, well, it is time for a break already. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard, and we are joined by the gorgeous authors of One Great Year, One Great Love, One Great Adventure, One Great Year, Tamara Veach and Rennie DeFazio. We will be back with more Synchronicity in a moment.
I will say B, Peru.
I'll do it.
And that's your final answer?
Yes.
You could buy a new car. You just want
$33,055.78.
To everyone who donated to this year's fund drive, CITR would like to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who helped us meet and exceed our goal of $30,000. Your generous donations help us support local artists, businesses, and marginalized voices in the community. Here's to another 75 years of campus and community radio.
Thursday, March 28th at the Media Club. It's the Winter Myths music video release party featuring their new song, Our Love, with special guests Mind of Snail. Tickets are available at Red Cat Records, Zulu Records, High Life, and Northern Tickets. Sponsored by CITR.
Louder than lions roar.
There are a lot of things you're not allowed to grow in your basement in Vancouver. Vegetables are not one of those things.
SPEC and the YWCA are excited to introduce the Urban Farmer Field School. The UFFS provides hands-on training in sustainable agriculture, small farm business planning, and community food action.
Class instructors are experts in urban agriculture, food systems, and plant mind control. The integrated curriculum is divided between classroom theory and practical learning.
For more information, please visit the interweb and search for Farmer Field School at spec.bc.ca.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I am your host, Marie Bernard, and we are joined by the authors of One Great Year, Tamara Veach and Rennie DeFazio, and they have a giveaway. So next time we go to a break, be listening for the cue to call, and you can give us a call, 604-822-2487, not right now, but during the break, and then they will mail you a copy of their book. It is an epic adventure, spanning, well, epics and millennia, and how long? 26,000 years?
The entire Great Year cycle is 26,000 years, and that's the backdrop for One Great Year. This particular book is 13,000 years, but we are working on the second and third book in the installment.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Really exciting. There's a lot more information to come. This really laid the groundwork, but we can't believe the journey that this book took us on. We started with a 15-page. Rennie gave me this 15-page treatment to take a look at, basically because we wanted our relationship and our future to thrive and survive. And when we first met, well,
yeah, it definitely didn't make sense.
Let's tell us, in case people weren't listening to the first time for the episode when you were on before, tell us a little bit about that.
I mean, prior to us meeting, I was essentially a backpacking bum and a starving artist, and just trying to make my way through life. And Tam was a recently divorced mother of three with one of those children still in diapers.
Wow.
Yeah, that wasn't really a planned. And Randy's being far too hard on himself. When he says backpacking bum, he was a creative genius who didn't buy into the material life. And he really lived his life in a fully creative and experiential way. But I had three children and I had, you know, a home and I had roots, and I couldn't just throw a back. I had backpacked a bit in my 20s and I loved to travel, but that didn't seem like a reasonable possibility at first. But what happened is we decided, okay, we want to make a life together. So we need to invent a life together, because our lives right now, we cannot amalgamate as things are. And it wasn't easy. And at one point, Rennie actually threw his arms up in the air and said, how can we make this work?
Yeah, what does that look like? And I actually heard a voice inside my head saying, write a book, you idiot.
Wow.
And that was so clear. It's as clear as I'm talking to you right now. And so I pitched my favorite story that I had a number of screenplays I had been working on. And I pitched my favorite one to Tam. And the next day she began writing One Great Year.
Right. So he, Rennie gives me this 15-page screenplay. He actually shot it to me in an email. I still have the email. And I read it and I was blown away. It was completely original. It was completely exciting. I was so excited to be a part of this project. I'd been writing since grade 6, went to university, took writing courses, took English and psychology, and was going to do my grand novel. And it didn't materialize until this brilliant screenplay was handed to me. And we started working right away. But it was not a quick process. We worked nonstop for 2.5 years.
The research was relentless on this project, because we dive into history and into real people in history. We wanted the stories to be absolutely accurate,
like Aristotle and Plato, and there were some really, really exciting parts. I mean, the whole book is exciting, but there are some where you're just like really hooked in and you're like, wow. And are you gonna write more about those guys in your upcoming books?
Everything will be tied together. I don't, because the main characters, Marcus and Theron, reincarnate, it is always them. They will always have those memories, those lifetimes, those characters and information to draw on. There are chapters, many, hundreds of pages that were in this book, in the first book, that didn't make it. I mean, it's 450 pages.
Yeah, like for people that don't know, I mean, it follows Marcus and Theron, and Marcus has past life memory, and Theron does not.
Yes, and they're soulmates.
That's right, and he pursues her from lifetime to lifetime. What he discovers is the many forms and roles that their bodies will become, and the many more ways that he's going to learn about love. And that is all tied into a crazy spinned adventure story. Mm-hmm.
But actually, I wanted to ask you about the concept of soulmates and how, I mean, because they were all sort of in the soul family. The Helgel's the bad guy, and he's a great bad guy. Oh, you love to hate him. But I mean, how come he didn't have a soulmate in that romantic sense like Theron and Marcus did? And is that why he was so dark?
I think because he chose a materialistic life.
And power.
He chose to be about ego and not about self. And that's his journey.
But someone had to choose that path because of the yin and the yang, the light, the darkness and the light. Someone, right. If it hadn't have been Helgel, it would have been someone else.
Right, and perhaps, and I'm going to just throw this out there, perhaps in other lives he is not the dark character. Perhaps in other lives his soulmate is Theron. Okay, so there is endless possibility when you shift your perception. The fantastic thing about creative writing and about writing novels is that you are only limited by your perception and your imagination. what we are learning about consciousness is that any limitations we put on ourselves, on our material lives here, are what we put on ourselves. So as unlimited as a creative story can be, that is as unlimited as your life can be. It truly is by our own design.
Yeah, I think the quantum world's kind of showing that to us, isn't it? I mean, are you familiar with the double slit experiment?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a vent test.
Well, maybe we'll explain it to listeners.
Okay, so that's essentially the experiment, the outcome of the experiment is affected by the observer. So the particles that pass through a double slit end up on the wall as two vertical lines. When the observer leaves the room, essentially they become a wave. And
they're spread across the wall.
Spread across the wall as opposed to two vertical lines through the slits.
What's really important about the double slit experiment, whether you see it or hear about it, is that the observer, that means expectation. Mm-hmm. Okay? What we expect affects the outcome. So we're talking about the energy and how we affect all the particles and waves around us and what's going to be the outcome. If you go into something thinking this is going to be horrible, it very rarely will let you down. You will almost always fulfill that prophecy. The psychologists call it self-fulfilling prophecy. If you tell a child that they are bad, they are bad, they are bad, they're going to become bad. They're going to believe it.
Like Dexter, when you were talking about Helgel having like becoming not so bad, it made me think of Dexter, the TV show serial killer guy, because he thinks he's this monster, and he kind of is. Well, he is. But at the same time, there are so many good parts of him that you start to see as the series progresses, that it's like the lightness and the dark still, even within this horrible person who was told, but basically was raised by his cop adopted dad to be a good serial killer, right? Mm-hmm. And because it was expected that because he saw his mom murdered, that this is what his life would be. But if his father hadn't taken him under his wing and done that, maybe he wouldn't have been that way.
Right. If you take it back to the metaphor that I used earlier of the Christmas tree, and that we're all lights on the same string, some of the lights are out.
Yeah.
Okay. The connection's broken. It's a different kind of, they're playing a different role, but they're still the same thing. We all have the potential for our light to go out. But we all have the potential to plug back in. And when we talk about consciousness, we are talking about your choice to tune in, your choice to ask questions, to jump back on the grid, to decide what kind of life do I want to live? What do I want my life to be about? Is this it? Is this all I believe in? And if there's something more, you got to do the work, man.
It's like those cartoons we used to watch as kids. You know, when the light bulb went on, right? That's enlightenment. It's when the idea takes hold. And that all happens from asking questions for yourself. That's what, and it's that simple.
Well, and that was, I mean, that's, we're not trying to convert or convince anybody.
Or get anybody to join a cult.
Yeah, we don't want to, we're not trying to transform anybody. But we're showing the breadcrumbs that turned our light on. So what happened for us is, well, we wrote this book, we wanted to base it in real history, we want it to be believable, we want it to have balance. And then we realized what it's all about. There really is a purpose.
So where were you at spiritually before the book?
I was absolutely not on board at all. And when I first met Tam was a believer in a higher order, and I wish I believed that. I just wasn't there. But I started to research and look for the answers, and then I found it, a thread that wove its way through everything. And then it was undeniable. And then it wasn't about believing something, it was about knowing something.
Hmm.
And that's what happened. That was a change in my one. And then that, once you knew about it, then it was like, why isn't everybody talking about this? And now that's what we're doing our pod parties about. We're going out, and pod party stands for plain old discussion about monumental topics.
Cool. So let's talk about the pod parties, because last time you were on the show, you were planning pod parties, but you hadn't done any.
Right.
So first of all, when's your next one coming up? When and where?
We are actually doing private ones. So we have a number of those coming up at short order, like next week, the week after. So if anybody's interested in that, you can go to our website, www.onegreatyear.com. Shoot us an email. We are going to be at Banyan Books and Sound on West 4th in Vancouver on May 9th. It's a Thursday night. Be prepared to spend the time. We're going to be there from 7 to 8:30. We have been holding on to people till 9, 10. Nobody leaves. It's been quite a phenomenal experience for us, because we will speak for about an hour. We'll go over the consciousness. We'll talk about all the trail that we followed, how all the epiphanies that we had in creating the book. But people want to hang out, and they want to tell us their stories, and they want to ask questions.
And it's very controversial, especially right now. I'm not sure if you heard what just happened to Graham Hancock at the TEDx.
No, what happened?
Okay, the TEDx conference. He was Graham Hancock, who is the author of
Footprints of the Gods.
Yeah,
and 20 other books. Fingerprints of the Gods.
Yeah, and yeah. He's done a number of books. He's amazing. But he was asked to do a talk, and he titled his talk "War on Consciousness." So he talked about how this consciousness shift is starting to happen, how it affects him, and how he was able to understand the true nature of reality through his ayahuasca experiences.
Oh, okay. That's the controversy there.
That's the controversy. And then, so it played for 3 weeks. Ted releases the videos on YouTube. It played for 3 weeks, got 120,000 hits, and they pulled it.
Because it was
because they said how they said it was not scientifically proven.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm not sure if you're familiar with what the talks that happened on TED. There's a lot of discussion that goes on TED that aren't
scientific.
So why would they pull a open discussion on consciousness that Graham Hancock did? And I know it has to do with DMT. So. Ayahuasca, the ingredient in it that makes people see things differently is DMT. And there was a really great video called The Spirit Molecule.
I saw, I've heard of that one.
Yeah.
We would highly recommend it.
And everyone has that in them, right? Yes. Or their brains produce it naturally, right?
Plants, it's in plants. We have an enzyme in our stomach that actually neutralizes it. So ayahuasca does it with the leaf, and then they do a root. They combine it with a root and a leaf. And it prevents the enzyme in your stomach to neutralize the DMT, and then you have the oral experience of ayahuasca.
Okay. And ayahuasca has been used as medicine for thousands of years. We don't know how long ago they started using it in the Amazon, but the danger of this censorship is that all Graham Hancock told people. He did not go on stage and say, go do ayahuasca, it'll change your life. He went on stage and said, listen, there the Peruvians, the people, the shamans believe that this helps you see the true nature of reality. Rennie and I have both experienced ayahuasca. It is not a recreational drug. It is not something that you go and do to get high or anything like that.
It's not a pleasant experience. I mean, it smells rank. It tastes rank. It makes you feel nausea, and people experience diarrhea. It's very nasty.
Is it the same kind of properties as peyote? Is that also have
peyote is also a psychedelic?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So what these do for you is they give you, I believe, and I'm not advocating that anybody go do this. Follow your own journey, research it if you're interested. But I believe for me, it opened up, it turned the light on, it let me see everything as it truly is around me. It let me appreciate my body as a vehicle, the peace and calmness of our world, and what we deal with here. There is everything that we have here to the absolute extreme in that full reality. When you see the grid and you are fully conscious, you can ask questions, you can talk, you can function inside that information gathering opportunity. And Graham Hancock believes that if we all did this, it would change the world
for the better. It would evolve mankind to such a level so quickly, it would make the world's head spin.
But some people in the spiritual world are not advocates of using psychedelics to have a higher experience, because they say that you could reach that same level through meditation, but it would take a long time.
Exactly.
So they might say, well, it's kind of, ayahuasca is like the lazy way of doing it. I'm just repeating what I've
right.
heard.
Right.
So what's your take on that?
My take on that is, if you don't do any of the work and you just go do ayahuasca, you are going to get your butt kicked. It is seriously going to send you home packing. It takes an incredible amount of work to get anything out of an ayahuasca experience. You need to be on a serious spiritual journey to, I'm not saying that in any kind of elitist way, but I do agree with your statement, however, that it is a huge leap forward. I know for myself, when I meditate, at certain times during meditation, I go back there. I go back to the grid. I go back to that place. But because I know it now, I spent 5 hours in a row there, not just little glimpses,
mm-hmm.
not just little flashes of, oh, what is that? You know, that piece of meditation, that otherworldliness. I know that place now. So when I go there in meditation, it fills me up for, you know, within 4 or 5 minutes, I am fully back connected to the grid and to the universe and the oneness. And it's empowering.
You have to be really careful with that ayahuasca. Lots of kids are flocking to Peru. And there's all these scammers down there now that are passing themselves as shaman. People are getting
dark.
Hurt.
It's dangerous.
It is dangerous.
It's because, see, for me, like, my mother had schizophrenia, so I don't think it would be a good idea for me to ever engage in any kind of psychedelic, just
yeah.
because I wouldn't want to go there. You
yeah,
know what I mean?
There's yeah. definitely some people that are unable to do it, and depending on the medications you're on and what history you have, medical histories you have in your family, and schizophrenia is one of them. That they say do not do it.
Yeah, because you don't want to, there could be like a predisposition
right.
and yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you may not come back. You may go to that other side and you may have to function in this, you know, in this existence. It, you know, if you have a predisposition for a mental illness, for something that you're tackling. But, you know, we can look at, you know, you can look at that too of what avoiding psychotropic drugs and psychedelic drugs is probably going to be a good thing if that's your background. But how many other things can you do in a positive way
mm-hmm.
to make sure that you keep your mental health healthy? And I think a spiritual basis for your choices and for how you interpret the world and not living in fear, because I think fear breeds a lot of mental illness in our society.
Oh, it does. It's so funny because I was talking with a friend of mine the other day he was saying, oh, well, our friend is grouchy. And I was like, oh, maybe he's depressed and da 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 da. And I was like, you know, it seems like everywhere you go, people are depressed. People have anxiety. They're worried about the world. And they don't really talk openly about it. They just kind of silently suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think that not that many people are battling this, but there are so many. I mean, you go to a party and you start talking about it, and all of a sudden you've got a room full of people talking about their anxiety and the medication that they're on. And how do we shift from that? Because if it's part of the human condition, because people think, oh, well, if I have depression or anxiety, I'm like broken, there's something wrong with me, I'm sick. And not really. I mean, we all deal with these struggles, and some of us have better ways of coping. Some of us have healthier outlets or ways of being in the world that allow us to move beyond that.
You know, that's exactly what we address in our book, because once we started to learn all of this consciousness movements, it affected the way we saw the world. It changed our anxiety, our fears. You realize that you are a conscious being in a vehicle, experiencing a human experience, having a human experience. So once you fully understand that you are this eternal being having a matter experience, then the little things fade away so quickly because you realize that you're here to learn things.
Right. So you still have emotions. This is something we always have to reiterate because people go, oh, yeah, you're so zen, man.
You're so pure.
You're so pure. You know, you have your emotions. The thing is they flow through faster and you don't stick. You realize right away, okay, why did that make me feel? I mean, some things are really obvious. Somebody, you know, punches you in the arm. You're going to have an emotion of that was unfair, that I felt wronged there. But there's lots of stuff that happens all day long that when you observe yourself in the situations and you actually look at, why did that bother me so much? You know, how did I feel so threatened? You know, then it really helps to ground you again and go, you know what, I'm going to let go of that. I am a mother of three little children. Okay. Fabulous, fabulous, wonderful boys. And they, mothering is worrying for so many people. Okay. And I remember when I gave birth to my first son, I've always been a writer and I wrote a poem and it said, you know, until you have a child, you don't realize that all your prayers become begging. Okay, you go right from that point of, yeah, it'd be nice to have a nice life, to please don't let anything happen to my babies, please, you know, and you get to this desperation and worry. I do not worry anymore, ever.
Wow.
Because 99% of our fear and worry never happen. We have no effect. It only dampens our life. It dampens our energy. You put it out there. And I don't believe that everything you think and worry about, you're going to make happen. We all have the flow through.
But I'm curious now, when you say you don't worry, is that because you don't allow yourself to worry or that those worry thoughts don't come up for you anymore?
Oh, I love that. Great question. When I started not worrying, it was because I didn't allow myself to worry. Now I don't worry because they don't come up anymore.
Okay.
Because so I practice
yourself.
It's like shooting hoops. Okay. You stand on that line long enough, it's going to be rote. You're going to get it. You're going to just get it in every time. You know, once in a while it'll shoot off and you'll catch yourself.
Nothing but net, baby.
Yeah, that's right. But you know, it's seriously, it's if you practice not worrying, when you catch yourself worrying, you have to say, this is not, it's not conscious. So many of us are walking around our world unconsciously, reacting, zombie land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's about the material. If your life is a focus on the material, not what are you giving back. The happiest people I know are the people giving back. And I don't mean the rescuers. I don't mean the people that are martyrs, that are putting themselves through excruciating, terrible lives to make other people, to build other people up. I'm talking about people that give back. They're smiling at other people.
Or the people that let other people in traffic as opposed to, like, not letting them in.
Ah, oh, those people.
So I'm a traffic letter inner.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, it's all those choices that affect the way that your day will become.
Right.
That's so fun because I actually woke up this morning and there was a message for me on Facebook about all the, like, light that I bring to people's lives and it's just like getting that back from someone, it just like fills you up so much. Right. And then you just want it. So I mean, she is being a light worker by sharing that with me, and then it gives me more energy to go out into the world. And so that's what you're saying, right? It's not about giving till you're depleted. It's giving that fills you.
Right. And you're not meant to be here to be martyring yourself and putting yourself in really bad situations. If you keep putting yourself in really, really bad situations, you're not learning it.
Mm-hmm. And then you become a drain. You're not giving. I mean, energy like creates more energy. But when you don't take care of yourself, and I've talked about this on the show so many times, that's when you start to be a drain on other people, right?
Right.
And then that's not giving. Right. So I'm curious. Well, we should probably take another break. But there's so much I want to talk about. Oh, yeah. Giveaway. Thank you. Yay. I asked Tamara to remind me because I'm a scatterbrain. So if you would like a copy of One Great Year, it is 450 pages of excitement, love, drama, even some sex.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, you can't definitely have life without sex.
Yeah. It's a good book. Lots of fun. So give us a call, 604-822-2487. The first person to get through, 604-822-2487 within what, North America? Because they're going to be mailing it to you. It's a big book. 604-822-2487. We will be back with more synchronicity momentarily.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
AMS Food Bank. Your access to money during the studies at UBC will most likely be limited, but it is a priority of the AMS Food Bank to ensure your access to food is not. The AMS Food Bank provides emergency food relief 7 days a week for all UBC students. To volunteer with the Food Bank or for inquiries about how to take advantage of the services provided, contact them at foodbank@ams.ubc.ca. For more information, find the AMS Food Bank on Facebook or feel free to visit anytime across from the Wellness Center and Sprouts.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. We are speaking with Tamara Veach and Rennie DeFazio. They are the authors of One Great Year, and you can find them at onegreatyear.com if you want to go to one of their pod parties, which is like a discussion. What's it called?
Plain old discussion. Topics.
Pod parties. They're on Facebook. And you are also doing, coming up in a few minutes here on CITR is Parts Unknown. So stick around for that in just like 13, 14 minutes. So documentary.
There's so much coming up for us. We started started filming a documentary last year, beginning with the initial launch of the first edition of One Great Year. We've been traveling, we're
traveling around the world showing these symbols and these concepts that are all around us, that have been around us for thousands of years, and we're doing little segments in these places. We've been to Egypt, to London, to Bolivia, to Peru, to Mexico, and we're all these places that we're showing these signs that have been left, these breadcrumbs for people to find.
Well, the fantastic part about setting our book in different times in history has been that we found that the history we've been taught is completely inadequate to what is really out there. In the last year, 3 years, 10 years, there's been all kinds of discoveries of ancient civilizations that were not known up until this time. Mm-hmm. We weren't taught in school that civilization is older than the Egyptians, older than, 6,000 years ago. Yet there are civilizations that they have million people cities that are 10,500 years ago.
Wow. And you also talk about perspective, because history is about his story, not the story of the other guy. So, like, in that country, their history could be totally different because it's from the perspective of that dude.
I think that is so valid. And that's changing your perspective is what we are trying to do with our pod parties. So we bring up the idea of crop circles in our pod parties. Now, everybody has an idea.
The crop circles, there's so many hoaxes. I don't know if I buy into that. But okay, Tamara's got something to say.
I love that you said that. When we were looking for our symbol, we kept finding the flower of life, the seed of life, and all these amazing sacred geometrical shapes in the crop circles. And we ignored them because we thought, well, the last thing we want to do is you know, we thought they were bunk. They we
get fooled by a hoax by a bunch of drunk English guys. You know,
yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah, and you know, we wanted to be credible.
And that's still good fun, though.
Yeah. Right, yeah, that's right. Hey, I will be there. I will be in the field with you. But so, we, you know, we kind of ignored them because we had our own biases. And what we discovered is that they were... When you we're not going to go into detail about crop circles and why they're legitimate, because we don't have to. There is research now that was released within the last month, a 12-year study by scientists that says unequivocally that there are many that are real, that come from outside
non-human formed.
Yeah.
That they don't know what the source is.
Right.
They don't know what the source is. And the thing is they're finding electromagnetic energy within these crop circles. They're finding dust that is in our orbit in space inside these crop circles. They're finding that the stalks of these crops are bent at 90 degrees, whereas if we were to do that, they would snap off. They're so brittle. But what happens is the nodules elongate from steam. Steam is blown through these things, mm-hmm. and they're bent and they're folded one over top of the other.
One reed at a time. Yeah. And they don't die. They thrive.
Yeah. And the next year, the crop right. does twice as much.
So the atmospheric dust, for me, was the one that made me go, what? Are you absolutely kidding me? And it's only within the crop circles. So we don't go into big detail about crop circles, but they're really important to us for one main reason.
Reevaluating the way that we perceive information. To always question our information. And I think that's what we tackle in our book with Socrates. Socrates is a great character in One Great Year. And one thing that he left for us to find or to discover was question everything. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, where there's a mystery, where there's people telling you, no, that's bunk, you can't believe everything you're told. Humboldt had a great...
Humboldt, I loved his quote because he says, first people will... deny a thing, then they will belittle it, then they will decide that it was known long ago. And I think that's what's happening with this shift in consciousness. People are starting to and it's being proven in science. There's physicists starting, like Amit Goswami's talking about it, Thomas Campbell is talking about it, that we're living in a hologram. And what does that look like? We're consciousness existing within these atoms to experience it. And it all gets slowed down because of this Higgs field. If we didn't have this invisible field keeping everything intact, we'd all be traveling at the speed of light on the grid, which is what happens when we relinquish the body.
Tamara, I just have to say, I can see why you love Rennie so much. His enthusiasm is just...
contagious.
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
You're just adorable. I mean, both of you are. But when you get all excited, it's just like, aww.
You know, it's so exciting. I feel like I really don't understand why everybody's not talking about
this. Well, you know what? It's the thing is, we feel, for us, like we found the secret to the universe. And it's everywhere. You know, Rennie has this great example he always uses of, you know, it's like that car you bought and you noticed one or two before you bought it. And then once you buy the car, you see it everywhere you go. It's exactly like that. That is how it's around you. And exactly. And once we do that, I mean, the really awesome part about this is that One Great Year has caught on. We got picked up by a U.S. publisher. Earlier this year. Have got distribution now in Canada and the U.S. Our Canadian distribution, we're getting a new cover. Right now, they're working on the new cover.
I like this cover.
I like the cover, too.
Is the new cover going to have sparkles on it? Yeah. Shiny foil?
Well, the really cool
we're
thing...
to the experts.
The really cool thing about this is we only have 800 of that book left.
Oh.
So our first edition, it was a limited run. We only have 800 left. We have gotten a movie deal. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we were picked up by a Hollywood... production company. They've optioned us for three Hollywood movies. So hopefully
three. So is that just for this one?
Just
or because you've got
one
two
book.
More books coming.
Yeah,
right?
We've got more books. So cool. Hopefully we will see these movies for many, many years.
Right. So yeah, I mean there's big things happening for the book, but it's because what happens is people read it and they is this stuff real? I mean, over and over, the first question is this stuff real? How did you put this all together? And it's been an incredible journey for us. And so as the book goes to the U.S., we are going to be traveling across, doing book signings, doing pod parties all over North America, and eventually all over Europe.
I think our video camera just ran out of power. Sorry.
No worries.
I'll grab that. And that's so exciting because you, I can imagine when we were talking about fear earlier, how you, as you said, you had like a corporate husband before, and you know, lived in the house, and you have 3 kids. And so you meet this guy who's like backpacking around and really passionate artist type. I mean, that's got to be kind of scary for you.
It was a choice. It was, I had 2 options right before me at exactly the same time. And right at the point where Rennie said, we're supposed to write a book, I had somebody else come along who said, I will marry you tomorrow and take you to the Maldives. And he was a millionaire, multimillionaire. And you will have the dream life. And I said, I really love Rennie, and I would rather have one more day with him than to be with anybody else. Aww. In a material life. So, and my life shifted in that moment because I chose to listen to my inner voice and my higher self rather than my fear voice and my material lower chakra self. And it's been 4 years. I have had the best. I've had a great life always. I've been very blessed. I've had lots of hardship, lots of death, lots of stuff to deal with. But I got to tell you, the last 4 years following my higher self has been the most beautiful, rewarding part of my life.
You lucky guy. Yes. Look at the smile on his face. I mean, you're both just...
It's been such a fantastic 4 years. And I can hardly wait for the next 4. There's so many amazing things happening on a daily basis to us right now. And it's all because we listen to our inside voice.
And so now back then you were already on your own spiritual path, Tamara. So right. This inside voice, I mean, what happened when you had been, we only have like 3 minutes left, so we got to make this really quick. But you guys had, I know you broke up and that only lasted like 2 hours. And you're like, how can we make this work? But I mean, so you've got this choice of the root chakra, this is everything in the material world that you could want here to provide for you, or this unknown, exciting, beautiful man.
I chose love.
Yeah.
You know, I think having a spiritual basis in my life, I realized even then that I knew that I loved Rennie. And I thought, if I don't go with this part of my life, I knew I was a writer. I knew I was a traveler. And I knew that I would regret forever and wonder what would have happened. And we have lived my dream of publishing a novel that's won awards and getting critical acclaim and touching people's lives.
And that's just the first one.
Yeah.
Exactly. We've had people finish this book. They've bought an around the world ticket. They've quit their jobs.
Wow.
They've left relationships that
were toxic.
That were toxic. I mean, we had one guy donate $17,000 to an orphanage. I mean, it's really affecting the way it's changing people's perspective.
Awesome. Oh, that's so exciting.
Well, we choose our lives, and you choose what's important to you. And you don't have to, abundance is out there. You don't have to choose not to have abundance because you want to have a spiritual life. Yeah. You just got to stop feeling guilty for the abundance and let it come. Yeah. Like doing this spirituality show, the abundance will come, you know, you're helping the world. And that is such a positive thing that it feeds itself.
And I get to meet great, inspiring people like you, which is...
And us, you. Thank
how
you.
How I get paid.
That's you know what? That's been the best part of this whole process for us, is the unbelievable community and Sangha. And there's been people that have fallen away. I know we're running short on time. There's been people that have tuned out, that have fallen away, that don't want to be a part of it. You know, you're too pure now. And it's, hey, trust me, we still have fun. There's lots of impurity going on.
I have a feeling there might be a couple of crop circle parties happening in the near future.
There you go. Okay.
All right, well, it is time to wrap up. DJ Chris Horrific is picking out some CDs for Parts Unknown coming up here on CITR in just a moment. Tamara Veach and Renny DeFazio, the authors of One Great Year. And we have one more book to give away. If you want a copy sent to you, if you live anywhere in North America, give us a call, 604-822-2487, 604-822-2487. And Renny and Tamara will mail you a paper copy, a signed copy of One Great Year. Is it going to be this first edition?
Limited first edition.
Limited first edition. And it'll be, yeah, I mean, the movies are coming out. It's going to be like Harry Potter. I'm excited. Okay, so onegreatyear.com if you want to go to a pod party or check out more about the book, and 604-822-2487, next caller to get through. We'll get a copy of that book. So have a wonderful week. I love you so much. Be well. Are you going to say it, Chris?
Namaste.
Yay, he loves to say that. Bye.
Namaste.
This is my life. I wake up in the morning, I eat, I sleep, I shit.
Breakfast with the Browns.
So whatever it is, but I never shut it off for 5 minutes.
I can't wait to impress my friends with my astounding knowledge of cool.
Join your favorite Brownsters and tune in and listen to the best selection of down-tempo electro-pop lounge core.
Strictly Squaresville.
Remember, subtle, basic, Brown.
Breakfast with the Browns
on CITR 101.9 FM every Monday morning,
from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
The older I get, the more life starts to make sense, and the less I care.
Now we're riding the rainbow, the clouds fit, and we're making it like young. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville. And